Cincinnati's Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. A federal grand jury in Maryland indicting President Trump's former national security advisor, John Bolton, one of his most outspoken critics. The Justice Department accusing him of mishandling classified documents. The FBI and other federal officials raided his home this summer. More from ABC's Alex Mallon.
This all stems, according to that search warrant, from an investigation that began after the United States became aware that a foreign entity had hacked Bolton's AOL accounts. Now, that's really important because that would indicate that maybe a foreign entity that did hack that account came upon the exact type of classified information, and that would obviously pose grave potential concerns if he actually did have highly classified information on his AOL accounts.
Today's actions coming on the heels of indictments against two other top Trump adversaries, former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James. Bolton has insisted he's done nothing illegal. This is ABC News. California officials sounding the alarm for a 9-year-old girl who hasn't been seen.
9-year-old Melody Buzzard is homeschooled. This week, a school administrator contacted investigators because Melody has not checked in with school in at least a year. Detectives can find no photos of her from the past 2 years or anybody who has seen her. Raquel Zick with the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office says they've talked to her mom, but they cannot figure out if Melody is safe or where she is.
This is a 9-year-old that we don't know where she's at. We don't have any accounting for her, you know, for the past year.
A search warrant was executed at the family home, but there are no clear signs of Melody's whereabouts. Alex Stone, ABC News.
FIFA officials say ticket sales for the upcoming FIFA World Cup in North America have now crossed the 1 million mark. Though the top three buyers were from the host nations of the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, fans from 212 different countries and territories have purchased their seats, with England, Colombia, and French fans also turning out in large numbers. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump still thinks he's a game show host at The Apprentice. Heard this great perspective about Tiffany not getting Trump's endorsement. If Josh Schumann feels like he's got to take some shots at Tiffany, which might weaken him, but it makes him look better to Trump to maybe get the endorsement, this is what Trump likes. He doesn't have any incentive to endorse Tiffany as long as he can keep playing him and Schumann off each other.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Tom Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Game 3 for the Brewers and Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and Dodgers battling to advance to the World Series next week, continuing tonight in Los Angeles. Second baseman Bryce Terang on Milwaukee being down 2-0.
We know where we're at, and we know what we got to do, and I trust these guys in the locker room to figure it out. And we got a good group of guys, and we've fought all year. So I think heading to L.A., I mean, we know what we got to do.
How tough have the Dodgers pitchers been? The Brewers, Jake Bowers.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are dialed in right now. Seems like you can go an entire game without seeing a pitch over the heart of the plate, so obviously it's tough. But that being said, we got to take it upon ourselves to try and do something to disrupt their timing and get them a little bit more uncomfortable on the mound.
Football, the Wisconsin Badgers are 2-4, and it doesn't get any easier. They host Ohio State, the number one ranked team in the nation, kickoff at 2:30 Saturday in Madison. The Packers are in Arizona on Sunday against the Cardinals at 3:25. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, an isolated shower or two tonight, and a low in the upper 50s. Partly sunny tomorrow, a stray storm could pop up, highs in the mid-70s. Temperatures start to fall back for this weekend as we dry out. It's 60 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we'll ask our Week in Review panel all about the protest plan for Saturday against things like trying to have your political opponents arrested, troops in the streets, rampant inflation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Government shutdowns. And more.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Kicking off Act 2 here on this beautiful Thursday night. What a glorious night to talk movies and TV and all the things we love about life on a nightly basis, which we do here. It is great to have you with me. Conrad Krieger is working diligently on the other side of the glass. I'm not even... What is going on with the Brewers? I just need to know so I know what kind of mood you're going to be in the rest of the night.
Well, they can't hit the ball again, so okay. It's just...
Are they losing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I can look forward to the Packers at least.
Yeah, you've got other things in life, believe it or not. Well, hang in there, Brewer fans. We'll try to help you through this next hour by talking about some really cool things. We will be back to our guest, Kara Mulrooney, in just a minute. Our word of the night is inspired, I should say, by the National Dictionary Day. What is your favorite or least favorite word? And, you know, Katie Scullin is a very talented singer-songwriter. She's been on the show a couple times. She posted something earlier that I saw, like, in the headline or whatever on your phone at the screen. You know, it pops up.
Yep.
Doily.
Doily.
That's a great word to not like. It's weird.
I don't even know what it means.
It's like those little things that you put on a chair, like the... white lace things that you put over a chair. You know what a chair is, right?
I think so.
Look, Google the doily and post it in the stream, because I'm sure there, if you don't know, then other people probably don't know too. But maybe it's a generational thing. My grandma had doilies around her house, but that one made me laugh. We also talked. Ace Frehley passed away, by the way. So Kiss fans, I'm sorry to, if you're hearing that here for the first time, I'm sorry for your loss, but I think it happened several hours ago. He was Ace Frehley was like, where I grew up on the northwest side of Chicago in the city, people are like, they're rock bands, basically, is how they identified, how they drew life breath every day. Pink Floyd, Kiss, and they would have these arguments. Sometimes they would result in fisticuffs over who was the best guitarist. You had Jimmy Page, you had David Gilmour, and then you had Ace Frehley. So I was not a huge Kiss fan. I know our friend Terry Barr is, so we are sorry for your loss, Terry. Terry will be here tomorrow night for Bar Band Friday night. Maybe we'll talk a little Ace Frehley then as well. Coming up at 7:35, Dan Hess from the Old World, Wisconsin, will be here. They have a great, all month at Old World, they're doing some really cool Halloween stuff. So we'll talk to Dan about that at 7:35. Yeah, those are doilies on the stream. You can see those. Those are just, why would you compromise a chair by putting a doily on it?
I feel like they're just going to fall off every time you sit in it.
It's not like the best looking chair. Anyway, maybe the doilies are an improvement in that case, but I don't know. All right, let's get back to our guest. Kara Mulrooney is here. She's a filmmaker and an actress from Milwaukee. She made the popcorn pick of the week. It was Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which she just saw at the Oriental. And how magical was that? Going, you have two kids now. You get to take them to a movie palace, this majestic theater, and watch one of your favorite. That must have been like a surreal experience almost.
You know, it really was. And they were scared of the same parts, of course, that we were all traumatized by, like Large March, which our 5-year-old misremembered as Mean Gene, which I also like. But we couldn't even say things like, it was a night like that. They freaked out.
I have to rewatch it. I don't remember some of this stuff.
Just like tonight. It was the worst accident I ever seen, right? Yeah. You recall now?
I do, yeah. It's been so long. Yeah. You know, here's a great thing we should do. You had this outstanding, these things are called cameos, and celebrities will, for money, but it's kind of cool that they do this, will give you a message. And they will, it's like they're talking to you, like you and I are talking over the stream. My sister Molly got my son Joe one from Kevin from The Office, Brian Baumgartner, and he was like, happy birthday, Joe Schwabba. He's like talking like they're best friends. And you had one from Pee Wee Herman or Paul Rubens. What was that like?
It's what I'm doing right now. I'm just, I'm speechless. I was gobsmacked, which is another favorite word.
Another great word,
I suppose. It was a present from my amazing beloved husband for my 40th birthday. Yeah. We were going to watch Pee-wee's Big Adventure Outside. That's what I wanted. And he opened it with this cameo from Paul Rubens. And Pete, as you know, because I sent it to you, he went on for almost eight minutes. This magical human being did not have to do that. Like, yes, you know, yes, he paid the money and it was not cheap. As right. Tate says, he's like, I would have paid double. I don't care. It was amazing.
Wow.
But went on for 8 minutes. So generous, so sweet. I don't watch it that often because I'm just so humbled by the gift, both from Tate and from Paul Rubens. And what makes it also harder to watch now is, of course, that he passed. And, you know, with the timing, he would have been sick at that time. He would have been in treatment for cancer at that time. So just as a document, it couldn't be more special and dear to me. Just that he was given it. All he had during you know, through the end.
That's really cool. We have a little clip of that, audio clip at least, that you were nice enough to share with us earlier. So let's play. This is Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman, giving Kara a birthday wish over these things called cameos, folks. Google them. They're great options as gifts. And she got one from her husband, Tate. And here is a snippet of him talking to her.
Let me just say this. Your friend is making her first feature film. You probably already all know this, but I'd like to say this to you, Kara. Great luck, and that's awesome. I mean, I understand that you are an amazing actress and storyteller and filmmaker, and that you're a very big fan of me. And I appreciate that. It tells me quite a bit about you right off the bat. It tells me that you are very bright and have amazing taste.
That's so great.
I mean, how masterful was that? Like, he says something really sweet. Like, imagine hearing that from your hero. But, like, it's also like, that's too much. You know, as a Midwesterner, I was like, stop, Paul Rubens. And then he does stop with a joke. Masterful.
Oh, that's so great. And you just said Midwestern, like, because we are typically a little, there are people, I bet you, that put that on their resume. Paul Rubens told me I was a great actress on my cameo that I paid for. Honest to God, right? I mean, and here you are just soaking it up. That was really cool. And you could tell he was just into it. It's fun.
There was such a warmth. Yeah. I wish the listeners at home could see, but yeah, just such a warmth and tenderness.
That's so great.
So see Pee-wee's Big Adventure, watch Pee-wee's Playhouse. He has all kinds of work. He's in, oh God, what's the cocaine movie?
Blow?
Johnny Depp. Yeah, I think Blow. He has so many surprising, I think he's in Mystery Men. He does a voice in The Nightmare Before Christmas. So, you know, you can catch him.
That's great. Catch him if you play. Well, it's very cool. All right, so tell us, you're working on a new film. You said it's in post, it'll probably be a year. But yeah. What's it about? I love what you do. You have a great imagination, and the short films you've done that I've seen in the Wisconsin Film Festival, outstanding. But what is this next one about?
Oh, that, yeah, you're so nice. Who would ever not come on your show? You're so freaking nice to everybody. You know,
I'm usually mean funny. To most people. You're easy to be nice to.
I can't imagine. You know, it's funny. I can, when the movie's done, I can imagine someone watching it and thinking, well, that was very visionary. like you say, like, it's very creative. Like, yeah,
it's really, no, it was very interesting. No, yeah, but the one you did about the medium and your pregnancy or trying to get pregnant, that was very, that yeah. was, it was brilliant.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's simply too much. But well, I'll give you the log line because okay. when I start to explain it, it just makes me sound crazy. So I'll give you the log line, which is a 40-year-old mascot maker facing her accidental pregnancy alone in the present day. Makes radio contact with a newlywed in mourning in 1958.
Oh my goodness.
Right. So it's kind of a lot packed in there. Yeah. But I will simplify it by asking, are you familiar with the moth radio
no.
stories? Oh my gosh. Sorry. Sounded judgy. I didn't mean it to.
No, just, I don't know much about radio.
It's a wonderful thing to discover. It's essentially people telling true stories on stage without notes.
Okay.
And so there's the Moth Radio, which is, I mean, I think a podcast, but it's it can be hit or miss, but it's mostly hits. Nice. If you're in the Milwaukee area, we have X-Fabula, which is essentially the same thing. I would argue better because they do so much in community building and community involved storytelling and education. So got a stump for X-Fabula. And I also won't miss the chance to thank them for connecting me with my co-writer, Monica Thomas.
Okay.
So I play to back up to, gosh, this is a lot coming at your listeners. So there's the pregnant mascot maker character that is played by me. And it does follow my actual pregnancy, although we started shooting in 2019 when the script was not anywhere close to done.
Oh, wow.
So we're like, okay, we're just gonna grab what we can based on what I know of the film. And then I gave here's where they're like, oh, I'm gonna lose them, Pete. I gave birth on camera as well.
Whoa.
So yeah. Yeah. And it's very, like, if you've seen Call the Midwife, like, it's a very tasteful angle.
Yeah.
And it helped that my husband is also the cinematographer.
Right. It was lit. It was.
He happened to be there.
You were lit beautifully.
Why not bring your 4K cinema camera and prime lenses to the birth? No, there was no lighting. It's all natural.
That's funny.
It's very natural. There's a lot of natural. We're going to have to take some of the natural out in post. But okay. So I'm the mascot character. But Kyoko or Kay is the newlywed in mourning in Chicago in 1958. And she's a Japanese American woman. Now I did my best to research that experience and listen to those stories. So densho.org, by the way, speaking of stories, densho.org, D-E-N-S-H-O, is a repository of stories of people, Japanese Americans who lived through internment camps during World War II. And so I took all of that in. I wrote the script best I could. And then I searched for a co-writer. And it was X-Fabula, the storytelling collective, that connected me with Monica Thomas.
Oh, nice.
And not just, you know, she's a Japanese American woman, and she was so generous in sharing her lived experiences, her recently departed mother's lived experiences. But she's also kind of woo-woo out there like me. And so we're a really great fit. She's also a typewriter artist. She recently participated in QWERTY Fest.
Oh, nice. Love, I've heard of that. I think that's such a great festival. Yeah, that's such a great name. Oh. Well, yeah. I wish you luck with the with the project. That it sounds like a big undertaking. A lot going on there. Yeah.
I need the luck, man. Do you know how they currently
Hey, hold that question. Sure. We'll do a very quick break and then we'll come back and wrap up with Kara. But I gotta ask you what you're watching too. And you need to finish that thought. So we're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Okay, all signed up. Easy. Now let's run payroll. What the? Hey, girl. I'm you with more gusto. Nice. Who's that? New social media manager, hired and onboarded with gusto. And spoiler, we're kind of famous now. Wait, we're famous? Oh, well, I'm famous. Payroll, benefits, and HR. Designed and built for small businesses. Choose a future with gusto.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Yeah.
I'm Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight. Steady Eddie in the 608 says, Pete, I just gave Nightlight with Pete Schwabba a thumbs up on YouTube. So you can do that, Conrad. There we go.
Thanks, Steady Eddie.
Yeah. He says, I'm watching and listening to you and Conrad on YouTube using my phone while I listen to the Brewers on the radio. Brewers Dodgers tied 1-1 after 5.5 innings. Go Brew Crew. I think that's changed since this text, but we appreciate the update, Steady Eddie, very much. He says, literally is my favorite word. Literally, I followed close. Wait, literally, followed closely by ice and cream. Steady Eddie, outstanding. Rin from Madison in the 608 says, favorite word, magic, least fave, squat. I don't know why that cracks me up. The word squat. Okay. Thank you, Rin. Great text. And thank you, Steady Eddie. We're back. We've got a couple more minutes with our current guest, Kara Mulrooney. Or is it Kara? Kara or Kara?
No, it's Kara.
Paul Rubens says Kara.
Only Paul Rubens can call me Kara. Everyone else would definitely call me Kara. Care Bear was my nickname. That helps.
That's a great one. Okay. So finish your story, please. I'm sorry. You were telling me about...
What was I talking about? What were we talking about?
We were talking about your movie. You got matched up with your...
My co-writer.
Yeah.
I missed some connecting points. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
So there's this log line, which is maybe a little difficult to track, but the easy way to sell my movie, hopefully, is that it's like two women telling stories back and forth through the radio and seeing how those stories impact the other woman in her life in real time, or in that real their timeline.
Yeah.
But right, what I was going to say now, as I'm speaking, I remember that now distributors pick up a movie or don't pick up a movie based on how many followers you have.
How sad so, is that?
And that's not just the film, but oh, you know this. This I just learned from our editor, Chris Thompson, who's going through it with his current film that he co-edited, co-produced. So,
I know, Chris, sure.
So, oh yeah, super talented filmmaker and great guy. But yeah, so how many followers? Not just that the film has, but that your actors have. And so going back to Hawk to a Girl, she has a huge following.
Yeah.
And so she was cast in that movie for that reason. Presumably, as you might guess, I don't have a massive social media following. I don't, you know, I'm an Xennial. I don't spend a lot of time on social media. Wow. So that's going to hurt. We're going to have to do like grassroots marketing kind of thing.
Go out
like
and buy some followers.
Maybe. Yeah.
You got to do something.
Yeah. Will bots win the day? I don't know.
Hey, Kara, I have to... First of all, I know how busy you are. I appreciate you sticking around so long. You're so much fun to talk to. Thank you for making the pick of the week. I wish you luck with the feature. But before I let you go, I have to ask you, are you binge watching anything? What can you recommend?
Oh, geez. I'm not. I'll tell you what my children are binge watching.
Sure.
And that is K-pop Demon Hunters. I don't think you can binge watch a feature film, but they're trying. They are watching it and listening to
it. It's crazy popular.
Every day it is crazy popular, and the song, like, got both my husband and I going to bed at night, the songs are in our head. We'll have to put music on just to get the songs out of our head. And like it's a great movie, and you know the songs are bangers, but yeah, it's earworm material for sure.
I gotta see this just to see what all the fuss
you should
is. yeah
see what all the fuss is about. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Have you ever, if you're in a theater where people are talking, have you ever tried joining in?
I've run the gamut. I've given looks. Yeah. I've said shut up.
Have you ever talked to the screen like, don't do it, man?
No, I haven't.
Like, because it occurs to me that I haven't either. Like, maybe
you know what?
Try.
I did. There was one time I was in a movie with my college roommate. I was like 20, whatever. We go in there and it's a horror film. And the people, the kids that the monster, it was probably a Jason movie or something, were chasing it. They hit the gun and they put the gun to lock the door. So that's what they used to lock the door. And I said, oh, you idiot. Like I said, no. It was like the second or third line I said, and some guy told me to, some older guy was like in his 50s, says, hey, shut up, will you?
So that was, and he shut you up for your movie viewing live.
I've experienced it from both sides, because I've been that guy, and I've been put in my place, yeah, deservedly so, back when I was a young idiot.
Well, right, you kind of have to see what the contract is. You go into
exactly
the theater and you're like, are we all going to talk, or are we going
exactly
to not talk and shun the talker?
Kara, thank you so much. Let's do this again, please, and keep me posted on your movie.
I will. I'm sorry for hijacking so much of your time.
Okay, what are we doing here? You're on here to talk, and you did that beautifully. It was fun.
I did forcefully, yeah. Oh, thanks so much, and thanks, Conrad. Go Brew Crew.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Kara. Have a great night. That's Kara Mulrooney, everybody. Check out Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Since she said Go Brew Crew, do you have an update? Has it gotten any better?
It's 3-1.
Oh, man. All right, well. What do we do here, man? What can I do?
Do we finish the quiz quick? We have like three more.
Let's save the quiz for the last segment. And right now, let's read a couple more texts.
Sure.
Dave on the stream says his least favorite word is irregardless. That's a good one. That's not really a word, because it means, when people use it, it just means regardless. But that was a pet peeve. I had an English teacher who could not stand the word irregardless. Conrad's mom checks in from the 920 and says, my favorite word is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from Mary Poppins. My least favorite word is the F word, which is used way too much.
Sorry, Mom.
Francine? What word is that?
Oh, yeah. What word she's talking about is the word I use way too much when I'm golfing. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. You've got... I think it's okay if you're golfing. Do you swear in front of your mom and your dad? You drop F-bombs?
I used to not. Now it just kind of slips out sometimes, you know?
You know, I still don't. My parents are like, honestly, I have a filthy mouth oftentimes, and my own kids swear in front of me.
Well, my brother has a worse mouth than me, so I'm in the clear.
You're the golden child. All right, we're coming right back, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about legends and lore at Old World Wisconsin with Dan Hess from the Wisconsin Historical Society. That is next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. A federal grand jury in Maryland indicting President Trump's former national security advisor, John Bolton, one of his most outspoken critics. The Justice Department accusing him of mishandling classified documents. The FBI and other federal officials raided his home this summer. More from ABC's Alex Mallon.
This all stems, in, according to that search warrant, from an investigation that began after the United States became aware that a foreign entity had hacked Bolton's AOL accounts. Now, that's really important because that would indicate that maybe a foreign entity that did hack that account came upon the exact type of classified information, and that would obviously pose grave potential concerns if he actually did have highly classified information on his AOL accounts.
Today's actions coming on the heels of indictments against two other top Trump adversaries, former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James. Bolton has insisted he's done nothing illegal. This is ABC News.
Game three for the Brewers and Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and Dodgers battling to advance to the World Series next week, continuing tonight in Los Angeles. Second baseman Bryce Turang on Milwaukee being down 2-0.
We know where we're at, and we know what we got to do, and I trust these guys in the locker room to figure it out. And we got a good group of guys, and we've fought all year. So I think heading to L.A., I mean, we know what we got to do.
How tough have the Dodgers pitchers been? The Brewers, Jake Bowers.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are dialed in right now. Seems like you can go an entire game without seeing a pitch over the heart of the plate, so obviously it's tough. But that being said, we got to take it upon ourselves to try and do something to disrupt their timing and get them a little bit more uncomfortable on the mound.
Football, the Wisconsin Badgers are 2-4, and it doesn't get any easier. They host Ohio State, the number one ranked team in the nation, kickoff at 2:30 Saturday in Madison. The Packers are in Arizona on Sunday against the Cardinals at 3:25. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The future Mr. Taylor Swift, a.k.a. Travis Kelce, is already feeling the pressure to have kids with his bride-to-be. During a recent appearance on the New Heights podcast, Dwayne Johnson and Jason Kelce, Travis's older brother, encouraged him to become a dad, saying, "Your life changes in a great way." At one point, Johnson joked that he and Jason were putting the voodoo hex on Travis. Kelce popped the question to Swift in August, how great would it be if their kids had Travis's singing voice and Taylor's gridiron talents? More Ed Helms? Yes, please. Deadline.com reports that the Office actor has signed on to the new film, The Stunt Driver. The story follows Ken Carter, played by Jay Baruchel. Carter was a stuntman who tried to jump over the St. Lawrence River in a rocket-powered vehicle, which at the time was considered the most dangerous stunt ever. Helms plays Dick Keller, an engineer who designs the rocket vehicle. I'm intrigued. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and isolated shower or two tonight and a low in the upper 50s. Partly sunny tomorrow, a stray storm could pop up, highs in the mid-70s. Temperatures start to fall back for this weekend as we dry out. It's 60 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me on this Thursday. We are in the home stretch here on this Christmas Eve of weekdays. Con, I don't know if I saw Dan just sign in, but I've got no screen here, so I don't.
Yep.
Can he hear me?
He's on.
He can hear me.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this month at Old World Wisconsin, this is a very exciting thing. We talked about this a little bit last year as well. They do legends and lore, and they have just these great events. And we wanted to, we always like to talk to our friends at the Wisconsin Historical Society. But right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight their living history coordinator. He is the general manager of experiences and events, Mr. Dan Hess. Dan, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you, and thanks for taking the time out. If you're a Brewer fan, and I were pulling you away from the game, I'm sorry about that, although it sounds like it's not going that great anyway, so it's great to have you. So I have to ask you, before we get into some museum talk, do you have a favorite word, Dan, or a least favorite word?
Oh, let's see.
That's our question of the night. It's National Dictionary Day, so.
Sure. You know, we're all about history and sharing stories here at Old World Wisconsin and bringing that to life. So I suppose living is probably one of my favorite ones.
Nice. That's great. All right. Well, let's get started then. I know we don't have you for that long, but I would love to know if people like myself, I've never been to Old World Wisconsin. And last year at this time, I said, I got to get down there. And of course I didn't, but it just seems like a really magical place and an absolute treasure for those of us that live here in Wisconsin that we need to take advantage of. For those listening who haven't been there, what can you tell us about it if you want to give us like an overview?
Yeah, so we're located about 45 minutes outside of Milwaukee in Eagle, Wisconsin. And we've got about 600 acres of land here, actually. So huge site, one of the largest living history museums in the country. And we've got over 60 historic buildings that were brought here from all around the state of Wisconsin, from Lake Michigan and the Mississippi River and from the Illinois border all the way up to Lake Superior. So
that's
lots of amazing things.
Yeah. So I was reading earlier, probably on your website, that building Old World Wisconsin sounded like such a huge endeavor. It opened in 1976, but took 10 years to put together. How has it evolved since? It came out 1976 or opened then, the year of the bicentennial. We're almost at 50 years. How has it evolved since then, Dan?
Yeah, so our 50th anniversary is just around the corner next year, but we're still adding things today. So this past May, we opened up the Whitnables Tavern. So that came from Old Ashapin, so a little bit north of Oconomowoc up 67.
Okay.
And it's... we've restored it after bringing it here from there. And we showcase what it might have looked like, what it might have been like as a 1930s tavern, just prohibition here in Wisconsin.
That's great. You have an actual working brewery on the grounds, as I understand it now. Tell us about that. I would imagine that would be pretty popular with visitors.
So yeah, right up there with our tavern right next door. It's been open a few years now. We've got our brew house. So amazing place when we're open in our summer seasons. We're brewing beer in there every day that guests come. So not only are we brewing that beer in the historic ways, we're able to then give a sample of those different beers to our guests.
I love it. All right. So October is a really fun month for you guys. Can you tell us about legends and lore?
Yeah. So it's my favorite event here. So It's a little bit different from a lot of other kind of Halloween kind of themed events. Whereas we try to do as much storytelling as we possibly can with it. So there's it's a place that you can come and hear many different stories, most of which are are legends and lore of a sort that are Wisconsin based. So we'll tell the story of the Ridgeway ghost out from southwestern Wisconsin. We also tell the tale of the Beast of Bray Road, which is just down the road from us here outside of Elkhorn.
Yeah.
Amongst a lot of other different things.
Some of these, I mean, I know kids are welcome, but just reading about this, Dan, a lot of this stuff seems incredibly, like, really creepy. Do kids get scared, or is it mostly for the adults?
We like to talk about legends and lore where it's always spooky, sometimes scary. So the thing I really like about it is it's not gory at all.
Yeah.
So we'll tell the stories of Baba Yaga and some other things. So they're older stories, but they're spooky, but they're really, I'd like to say that we're usually in the G to PG range.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about the tale of Baba Yaga. It says a Slavic folktale of a supernatural an old woman who lives in a hut that stands on chicken legs. That is really creepy.
Yeah. So, I mean, the story comes from Germany and Austria. So their kind of fairy tales are known for being a little bit more spooky than the fairy tales we might know from Disney today.
Sure. How about the maze? I love this. A lantern lit walkthrough of the sorghum maze.
Yeah.
So it's dark.
So, yeah. So okay. we use sorghum, which was another plant that was historically grown here in Wisconsin, especially around the 1900s, 1910s, that would have been used at that time to make sorghum syrup. We still use it to make that today, so sweet syrup. But, yeah, you have a chance to walk through the maze using a lantern to kind of guide you through it in the dark.
My guest is Dan Hess here tonight representing the Old World Wisconsin Museum. Dan is the Living History Coordinator and the General Manager of Experiences and Events, and he's telling us about all the cool stuff going on there this month leading up to Halloween. They have events October 17th and 18th, 24th and 25th. Dan, the other one I wanted to add, the seance. That sounds really cool. Can you tell us about the Victorian seance?
Yeah, so seances are something that we don't often think about, but we're a very Victorian era thing. So people historically did them quite a bit. And I will say it's not a real seance. Some guests might be happy to hear that, but it is a performance kind of talking about what those things might have been like, and kind of a bit of humor might be in it as well.
Oh, that's good. How much time do people need, Dan? Like, let's say a guy's got a wife and two kids, they roll up. Can they spend the whole day there? I mean, it sure sounds like they could, but how much time should they carve out to really soak in kind of everything you guys are offering this month?
Yeah, so for Legends and Lore, our gates open at 3 p.m. actually. So guests can come in, and we've got the grand opening of our Clousing Barn Cafe was last weekend. Grand reopening, I should say. So we're happy to have that. So we've got food and beverages, and you can take advantage of our retail store, things like that. Get your dinner before you start at 3 o'clock. And then the grounds open up at 5:30 for the event. And I really would suggest if you want to see everything to be here ready to go by 5:30. Okay. We've got lots of different stuff going on for everyone.
That's great. I want to ask you about a couple more of these things. A 1930s haunted Halloween costume party at Whitnable's Barn, Tavern. What is that exactly?
So that's at the 1930s Tavern that I was talking about. Okay. So it's we've kind of got, so the staff that'll be in there are in 1930s costumes, and we'll have some 1930s kind of Halloween theme music playing, things of that nature. And we've got some historic cocktails that you can partake in as well.
And that's just people rolling up in costumes. Like, that's not the employees sort of putting on a show. That's everyone is welcome to come in and wear a costume and have a few cocktails.
Absolutely. And wow, whether it's for there or throughout the entire site, you're welcome to wear your costumes. Absolutely.
Through all the searches for the Hodag, how successful has Old World Wisconsin been looking for the Hodag on the Long Tail Trail?
We seem to find him pretty often, but might take a little bit of hiking along the trail to be able to find him. But we've got guides that are trained at finding him that'll be able to help you.
This sounds like so much fun. How much is it to get in, and where can people find tickets? Like if someone wanted to bring their family, what would they be looking? Is it reasonably priced, or how does that work?
So you can find them at olderoldwisconsin.org. I'm going to double check here, but $22 for adults, and it's a little bit less for children.
That sounds pretty reasonable to me. This sounds so great, Dan. This I wish you luck. And what anything else coming up at Old World or any of the other sites that you could tell us about as we get closer to the holidays once Halloween is passed?
Yeah, so we've got the first two weekends in December. We'll also have our Home for the Holidays event. So another great event that we have here in our village area that showcases not only Christmas, but takes a look at some of the other holidays around that time of year, whether it's St. Nicholas Day or New Year's or Boxing Day or Hanukkah or things like that. So we look at all those different different holidays around that time and share how people celebrated those back in the 1800s.
Sounds like people should just go to oldworldwisconsin.org and check it out for themselves and see everything you guys have to offer, because it's pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
Before we let you get out of here, Dan, I got to ask you, if you're binge watching anything, what does a living history coordinator like to watch on TV at home when you put your feet up?
Oh, gosh. I'll be honest. My wife and I have been watching Dancing with the Stars lately on Tuesday nights. But British Bake Off is pretty fun as well. Okay. And then I think one of my favorite shows, though, in regards to living history type things, though, is it's called Victorian Farm, and it's a BBC, actually,
show.
But you can find it on YouTube and a few other different places. But it's one of my favorite, looking at the 1800s.
Whatever you can watch that brings you and your spouse together, I'm in favor of. That's TV watching time is very precious. So good luck with that. Thank you, Dan, so much for taking the time out. And maybe we'll see you down there this October. Who knows? But have a great month down there at Old World Wisconsin.
Thank you so much.
You got it. All right, that's Dan Hess, folks. Check out Old World Wisconsin. Go to oldworldwisconsin.org. And, man, lose yourself in everything they have going on there this month, because it's pretty impressive. A lot going on. Conrad, I think we should organize like a nightlight bus tour.
Okay.
I want to go to that costume party. I'm not kidding. And I want to see the one with the chicken legs. I don't know. Something yummy. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, no. Literally something yummy.
That was really creepy. I didn't even mean for it to sound like that. Mark in Prairie du Sac, that's the 608, says, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, and if you say it loud enough, you're always precocious. Very well done, Mark. I like how you worked that in there, buddy. Great text. Steve from Florida, that's Conrad's dad, says, favorite word, inspirational, least favorite, behind. You think your dad means like trailing or
behind in work,
reference
maybe?
Reference to the butt or something?
I don't know. Behind.
Behind is what
you say it a little differently.
That's true. Behind. Don't get left behind. All right, that works. Thank you.
You got touched in the behind.
Thank you, Steve. John Murray from Madison in the 608 says, scrumptious is a pretty word.
I like that word, too.
I like that word, too.
Yeah.
John also says, I watched my Saturday morning cartoons on a 12-inch black and white TV. It was still a miracle box to me. Very well said. You didn't know any better either then, John. It's like, yeah, well, we took whatever people used to love to listen to the radio. So very, very well done. We've got a couple more texts we'll read after this. And I'm going to finish my college basketball player quiz, folks. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen, you were out hunting. How did that go?
This buck is eluding me, so I'm just trying new things. I bought designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it.
People get into the scent, and there's all kinds of things people try to do. I don't know that the science is conclusive. Otherwise, everybody would have success every time. You got to try what you can try, right?
That's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. 1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabo. We're in the home stretch here, folks. We just got another update on the Brewer game from Conrad's dad, who says the Brewers are, I see what he did there, behind. Come on, Brewers. Good luck, Steve. And nice tie-in. Nice callback. Yesterday, we talked about our favorite grouches. That was our question of the day. And our Civic Media pal, Tony Zimmerman, said Pat Kreitlow, our morning host here on the network. And I didn't see this until today, but Pat Kreitlow put a gif of Oscar the Grouch, which I thought was well done. Thank you, Pat. And then our pal Robert Dennis, Bob Dennis, the mafia expert who lives here in Green Bay, said his favorite Grouch is Mr. Costanza, and also posted a picture of him saying, "I got a lot of problems with you people." Well done, Bob. All right, so I think we've got... Oh, and I don't like to miss text, Conrad. You know that.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Diane Keaton flick? Andrea Makova. I don't know her, I don't think, but on Facebook she said, "This is my favorite. Something's got to give." Okay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you for listening, and thank you for the text. We always post our question of the day on social media, folks, so you can go there and respond. If you can't listen to the show, we still read them on the air. Daniel Wheeler says, "My beef with the letter H, when placed behind a P, we get a new sound, like as in photo. When placed behind an S, we get a new sound, as in should. But when placed behind an R, we get nothing. Where's my rhythm and rhyme in that?" Daniel Wheeler's a very cerebral guy. Mike Desitel says, my favorite word used to be gullible, but it's no longer in the dictionary. Is that true? My least favorite word is onomatopoeia. I always forget how to spell it, so I can't look it up. I would not know how to spell that either, Mike, but I think you did a pretty good job. All right, let's finish our quiz con before we get out of here. Yeah. I took a college basketball player quiz.
I believe you're 5 for 11 right now.
One, two, three.
No, we got through 12, so you're...
4, 5. 5 for 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. And Berger, B-I-R-G-I-R Irving was not a college basketball player.
No, it was.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, you got that one right.
I got that one right. Okay. Yes. Here's another one I love. Number 13.
Fat Brooks.
Speaking of Daniel's text, Fat Brooks, P-H-A-T, P-H-A-T. I'll say yes. Wow.
Correct.
That's just too weird.
6 for 12. Weird, 6 for 13. Sorry.
Weird in a good way, though. I love the name Dunk Tyson.
I wish that was real.
I wish that was real. And Max Defender, love it. You have to be an athlete.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. You could be a basketball player or...
cornerback.
Yeah, feel like you could be good, a baseball player too.
Good infielder. Yeah, yeah. Good soccer defender. Number 14.
Cookie Boogie Rivers.
That's real.
It is not.
No! Damn.
I think I did a good job of creating
you
fake
did.
Names.
Fat Brooks. That was real too. Okay. All right. This one's weird.
Chuck Hare.
Yes. Wow. Who does he play for?
You know, honestly, I didn't even... A lot of these players play for like D2 colleges or something like that.
This all could be made up.
No, it's not. Actually, I can look this up quick. I have a picture.
I'm just saying I wouldn't have known.
That I took today, and he plays for Holy Cross.
Okay. That's a real school.
And if you're wondering where Berger plays, he plays for High Point.
I've never heard of that school.
And I think you asked where Tennessee Rainwater.
Yeah, where does Tennessee Rainwater? Love that name.
Le Monnier.
That's a college?
Yeah.
That's like probably a JUCO in Upper Wyoming. But hey, it still qualifies. All right, last name
last one.
On the quiz. Go for it.
Dr. Bradley.
Yes. Is that right? Oh, baby. All right, so I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 out of 16.
Dr. Bradley plays for Bethune-Cookman.
Bethune-Cookman. Yeah, all right. So if I'm shooting threes and I'm 8 for 16.
That's pretty good, you know? You did
We're
well.
We're going to the dance, baby.
I thought you'd do worse, to be honest.
Thank you. how long is the Meet the Parents clip?
We got time.
Let's fire that up. Let's go out on a laugh. Meet the Parents dropped this week, but here is a clip from my writing partner, Greg Liana's Meet the Parents, which started a franchise, his little independent movie. Let's hear that.
You really have a beautiful home here.
Oh, thank you.
I've always prided myself in being able to provide my family with a very nice home to live in.
We're going to have a lovely home too, Daddy.
Having a family means being responsible with money. You agree with that, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir. I totally agree with that, sir. I've always believed a penny saved is a penny earned. Did I say something?
Daddy's mother's name was Penny, and he keeps her ashes in an urn.
So great.
It's so funny.
Good stuff. Dave on the stream says, literally, drives me crazy. Those are two good words. Dave said, irregardless and literally.
I just don't like that word.
It's weird because I know I said yummy before, and it does kind of make me just feel kind of yucky inside when someone says, especially when it's like another guy's wife or a grandma or something look at me and go, yummy. I don't know how to react to that.
I have another word, and I waited for the end of the show because it does trigger some people, you know?
Okay.
Moist.
Moist is a good one. Yes.
I hate that word.
That is a word that could go so many different ways. These are all great. Thank you, everybody, for your texts tonight. Thank you, Kara Mulrooney, for making the popcorn pick of the week, which was Pee-wee Herman's Big Adventure, by the way, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And thank you to Dan Hess from Old World, Wisconsin. Check out their legends and lore all month. Go to oldworldwisconsin.org. Great stuff. We will be back tomorrow night. It is a Bar Band Friday night, and Lisa Hale from New Wisco Weekend will be here talking about color television. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A grand jury has indicted former Trump advisor John Bolton on charges he allegedly unlawfully transmitted and retained classified documents. In a statement this evening and speaking about the president, Bolton saying, quote, "I look forward to the fight to defend my lawful conduct and to expose his abuse of power." The White House says President Trump spoke on the phone with Russian President Putin today. This is the president gets ready to host Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House tomorrow. In Illinois, a federal judge accusing federal agents of violating a restraining order that she issued last week.
After seeing images of violent clashes in Chicago ending with tear gas used on protesters, a judge says federal agents who have body cameras must wear them during the Trump administration's sweeping immigration crackdown.
ABC's Alex Perez in Chicago. Day 16 of the government shutdown. Republicans and Democrats in the Senate failed for the 10th time to pass a bill to reopen the government. This is ABC News.